Open your Bibles to the book of Isaiah, chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55. Verse 6 beginning. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return to the Lord, and He will have compassion on him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return, there without watering the earth and making it bare and sprout, and furnishing seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be which goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, without accomplishing what I desire, and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. Jesus Christ came to the earth, and He gave His life that we might be forgiven. There's no greater story. There's no greater blessing than to understand the great gift that we have been given through Jesus Christ. When we think about these great words that Isaiah wrote, we understand that the Word of God that has been given unto us was given to inform us, to enlighten us, to educate us about who we are, why we are here, and the hope that we can have of spending eternity with God in heaven, and all about sin. The Bible teaches that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and that is true. And it's because of our sins we have been separated from our God. The great and wonderful beauty that we see in the gospel of Jesus Christ is to be able to learn His truth. That's why Jesus commanded His disciples to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not will be condemned. The purpose? That we might be saved from our sins. Paul says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." The content of that gospel in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 3, the Apostle Paul talked about the death, the burial, the resurrection of our Lord for the forgiveness of our sins. In Galatians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, Paul said that though we or an angel from heaven should preach unto you any other gospel than that which has been preached unto you, let him be anathema. This morning, I want to talk to you about... Where's my sermon? Yeah, I already had it in there. Mark. Hold on. This is the one you're supposed to use. The power of the gospel. The power of God's word. It teaches us about right and wrong. It motivates us to be obedient to His Word. And when we obey His Word, we can be forgiven of every one of our sins. Today, I want to talk to you about obeying the gospel. And obeying the gospel is not just about getting baptized. Obeying the gospel is all about hearing God's Word and believing it and being obedient to it all of your life. We talked about in our Bible class this morning the very fact that if we hold fast, the idea of keeping on obeying God and believing in His Word is so important and so essential to us having life eternal. But one of the best ways that I know of to motivate us to first and primarily be obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ is when we look to the gospel and we see all of these great examples of conversion. Now, on Sunday nights, we have been going through the book of Acts and talking about salvation issues. We've gotten to chapter 10, and tonight we will continue that study and we'll look at Cornelius. And we'll specifically look at the idea of just exactly what was Cornelius commanded to do, what did Cornelius do, and what was the result. We need to see that. But there are many examples of salvation in the Scriptures, and I'd like to talk to you about those this morning. Now, not too long ago, we talked about those on Pentecost. And I want you to see how simple it is. First of all, to those who are not Christians, you must understand that you, having reached an age to understand right and wrong, God is talking to you. He's talking to you about your life. In this great book, He's talking to you about sin. And He's talking to you about forgiveness. And through His Son, you can be forgiven. But you must realize your sin, and you must be obedient to Christ in order to be forgiven. And then once you're a child of God, you've got to keep on keeping on serving Him. But first things first. On the day of Pentecost, when the first gospel sermon was preached concerning the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, Acts 2 records that the apostles stood before thousands of people and they preached about Jesus dying for our sins. If you'll notice in your Bibles in Acts chapter 2 and verse 22, the apostle Paul, Peter and the rest of the apostles there, they make it very clear. Men of Israel, listen to these words. Jesus, the Nazarene, a man attested to you by God with miracles and wonders and signs, which God performed through Him in your midst, just as you yourselves know. This man, delivered up by the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God, you nailed to a cross by the hands of godless men, and put Him to death. Verse 36. Therefore let all the house of Israel know for certain that God has made Him both Lord and Christ. This Jesus whom you crucified. One thing that is important for us to understand about the teaching of the Bible. Yes, the Romans and the Jews, during the time of Christ, were responsible for putting Jesus on the cross. They were murderers. They put the Son of God to death. But one of the things that the Bible teaches us that we must understand, we all sin and fall short of the glory of God. And each and every one of us, when we sin, we have put the Son of God on the cross. Now that shouldn't make any of us feel good. We as well are responsible for the death of Jesus on the cross, because Jesus died on the cross for all men, for all time, for all sin. And that includes me. When we read this great text, we find that they hear this gospel. We notice in verse 14, Peter, taking his stand with the 11, raised his voice and he preaches to them. Verse 22, he's still preaching as we just read. But then in verse 38, the text says, "And Peter says to them, repent and let each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Verse 39, "For the promise is for you and your children and for all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God shall call to Himself." The significance of this great sermon is the fact that God, through His apostles, reveals the whole purpose of man on earth and Jesus Christ coming to earth. We have sinned, but we can be forgiven. And this is a promise that has been given to us to be forgiven. You notice about 3,000 souls heard that message. Now, there were more than 3,000 people there. And I'm not belittling the fact that 3,000 obeyed the gospel that day. But 3,000 out of many thousands responded to that gospel. So then those who had received His word were baptized. Receive is a word that has to do with hearing it, understanding it, understanding what it means to be obedient to it. And about 3,000 were baptized into Christ. And the reality of what happened for them when they obey God's word? Verse 47, "The Lord added to the number," or the church, King James says, "those who were being saved." Now I want you to get this. At the beginning of this sermon, they were talking to people that were murderers, that were in sin. They heard the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. When they responded to that gospel, they were baptized and had their sins washed away. Now, on the other side, they are the saved of God. Now, what we will get to in just a few moments, that same gospel invitation is to every person in the world. It's to you as well. And you must come to realize the need to listen to God. You must come to realize your need to be forgiven. You need to realize that you can be forgiven through the blood of Jesus Christ. And you can have every sin washed away today. Today you can do that. And you can be a child of God and have the hope of heaven. There's some other great examples. The Romans were ones that heard the word of God as well. We find in Acts, or in Romans chapter 6 and verse 17. Romans chapter 6 and verse 17, the Apostle Paul wrote to them and he talks about what they had heard. He says, "But thanks be to God that though you were the slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were committed." They were taught the Word of God. You see, in order to hear or to know about God's will, you have to hear about it. And there are lots of people in this town, this area right here, that have never heard the truth of God's Word. They need to hear that. But when people hear the Word of God, they've got one of two choices. Listen to it and obey it, or hear it and reject it. These people, the Romans, heard it. They heard that gospel and they found out that they were servants of sin. They realized that they were sinners. A preacher told me a long, long time ago when I first started preaching. He says the most difficult thing that you're going to have to do as a preacher is convincing people that they're sinners. And I didn't really understand that at the beginning. I'd always kind of thought, well, the hardest thing is get people to be baptized. No, that's not right. You convince somebody they're a sinner, there's no problem about getting baptized. When you realize you are a sinner, Jesus tells you what to do to be forgiven. And if you're convinced by His Word you're a sinner, you'll do what else He has to say. So they hear this gospel. Well, notice in chapter 6 of the book of Romans, this passage that most of us are well familiar with. Notice, or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into His death? And he goes on giving a commentary about baptism and what it represents. But here's the deal. The Romans, the Gentiles, just like the Jews, on the day of Pentecost, what did they hear? The gospel. What is the gospel? The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. What is that for? For my sins. Am I a sinner? Yes. What do I need to do? I need to be forgiven. Why? So I can go to heaven. These Romans believe that. And in chapter 6 and verse 18, notice who they are now. He says, "And having been freed from sin, you became slaves of righteousness." Friend, do you not understand that if you've never been baptized into Jesus Christ, you are a slave of sin? You're a slave of the devil? And the only way that you can be set free from that is to obey Jesus Christ. Well, notice this example, the Corinthians. The Corinthians were an unrighteous Gentile people. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, notice Paul describes them. Verse 9, he says, "Or do you not know that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers, shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you." But what happened? What we find in the account of Paul going to Corinth, he went there to preach the gospel. Why? Because Jesus said, "Go into all the world." Paul was an apostle. What did he do? He went and preached the gospel. He comes to Corinth. Look at Acts chapter 18. Acts 18, the apostle Paul, he comes to Corinth. And notice in verse 4 what he does. Verse 4, "And he was reasoning in the synagogue every Sabbath and trying to persuade Jews and Greeks." Verse 11, "And he settled there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them." Now what did Isaiah say about the word of God? That God's word does not return unto him void. What does that mean? When the word of God is spoken, it brings forth something. What I'm trying to encourage all of us to do in our Sunday night class, we have got to sow the seed. And we must understand that it will not return void. Our job is to plant it. God's job is to bring forth the increase. We must do our part. God will do His part. Paul did his part. He went and preached the word. And notice, folks were baptized into Christ. Notice, if you will, chapter 18 of the book of Acts again. Notice verse 8. "And Crispus, the leader of the synagogue, believed in the Lord with all his household, and many of the Corinthians who heard were believing and were baptized." That must have been an awesome, awesome thing for Paul to have gone into this very wicked Gentile place. And he preaches the word of God to all of these heathen. And they hear the word of God. And they believe it. And they want their sins forgiven. And the scriptures say, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 2, Paul addressed them as the church of God. Isn't it great to know that sinners, whoever they might be, however unrighteous they may be, do you remember the list we just read? Those were some wicked, vile sins. But those people who had been those very things were forgiven. So whoever you are, whatever you've done, however wicked and vile, the Corinthians stand as an example that you can be forgiven too. You can be forgiven. The Galatians are another example. They didn't know God. In Galatians chapter 4, verse 8. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 8. Notice that the Apostle Paul says, "However, at that time when you did not know God, you were slaves to those who which by nature are no gods." My wife and I had a Bible study with a young lady many, many, many years ago. She was a next door neighbor of one of our members. And she asked this neighbor to have a Bible study. She invited Mary Lou and I to come over. So it was Mary Lou and I and these two ladies. Well, we tried to figure out by starting at the very beginning as what this girl knew. Well, come to find out, she was raised by an atheist mother. And what she had heard about Christianity was this: it's all a hoax. It's just a bunch of folks getting together trying to get your money. That's all she knew about Christianity. When we opened up the Bible and we mentioned people like Adam and Eve, this is hard to imagine. It is absolutely unbelievable. She had never heard of Adam and Eve and Abraham and Moses. And when we read those pages from the Bible to her, she had never heard it before. We continued to study with her about knowing God. She didn't know God. She didn't know who He was. That was the Galatians. And when they heard the Word of God, it's important that we understand that they were baptized into Jesus Christ. Remember this great text in Galatians chapter 3, verse 26? He says, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus." Isn't that a great just first statement? Here's people that didn't even know God. Now, it doesn't seem possible that people could live on a planet and not know God. But it happens. So what do we do for people like that? We teach them the Bible. Teach them the Word of God. So they can learn about God. And when they learn about God, they learn about why we're here. When they learn about why we're here, we'll learn from God that while we have been here, we've all become sinners. And He wants to save us. You get the point? It's the same old story over and over and over, regardless of what people have done or where they're from or what they've grown up knowing. It's the same story. These folks became sons of God. The text says, "For all of you who were baptized into Christ, have clothed yourself with Christ." Now what that simply would say, before, when they didn't know God, they were not in Christ. What were they? Here's what we must get a grasp on, brother and sister in Christ. When people don't know God and they've never been baptized into Jesus Christ, they are lost and going to hell. Do you get that? Do you understand that? There is no exception to that. That is the important reason that we teach everybody the gospel. Give them the chance to decide for themselves. Because they're going to be lost without God. They became heirs. Verse 29, "And if you belong to Christ, then are you Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise." What a beautiful thing. These Galatians who didn't even know God became heirs of Abraham. There's the Ephesians. They were dead in sin. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1 says, "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins." Now, that's an interesting phrase. Let's think about this for a moment. When you sin, what happens? The first time you sin, the first lie you ever told, the first time you ever cussed, the first time you ever talked back to your mom and dad and you disobeyed them, having reached an age of knowing right and wrong, what happened to you? Let's go back to Adam and Eve. You remember what God said to Adam and Eve? If you eat of the tree, the day that you eat, you shall what? Surely die. When you go back and read the story, we've talked about this many times. When you go back and read the story, when Adam and Eve ate the fruit, did they just drop over dead physically that day? No, they did not. So God lied. No. He told the absolute truth. What they did, they died spiritually. What do you mean? Death means separation. When Adam and Eve sinned against God by eating the fruit, what did He do to them? He cast them out of the garden. Why did He cast them out of the garden? He got them out of His presence. Because sin separates you from God. Now let's go back to each one of us. Whatever day that was, whatever sin that was, the first time you sinned, you know right and wrong now, and you did wrong. You were separated from God. What does that mean? You were dead in your trespasses and sin. Die means you're no longer with God. That's the Ephesians. Well, they were taught the truth. In Acts chapter 19 is the example of Paul going to Ephesus. And he preached the Word of God there as well. And he taught them the truth. In Acts chapter 19, he thought he was meeting some Christians, disciples. After he talked to them a little bit, he found out they were not disciples of Christ, but they were disciples of John. So he teaches them the gospel, and they're baptized. Verse 8, Paul then continues to enter the synagogue and continues speaking out boldly for 3 months, reasoning and persuading them about the kingdom of God. So the Ephesians are hearing the gospel. And they were baptized into Christ, verse 5 says. And they were saved. One of the great passages in all of the Bible in salvation, Ephesians 2, verse 8. Remember that great text? For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Remember that passage? To whom was that written? Ephesians. Who were they? They were as dead as a doornail in sin. But they heard the truth. They realized they were sinners. They were baptized and had their sins forgiven. And what did that make them? That saved them. It doesn't matter who you are here today. This is being recorded and it'll be other people to hear it on the internet. And whoever you are, if you have sinned against God one time, how many times did the Adam and Eve eat the fruit? One time. And what happened to them? They were cast from the presence of God. Somewhere along the line, we've got the idea you got to sin a bunch or you got to be a real bad one to really be separated. That is not true. That is the devil's lie. If you have sinned against God in any way, you need to be forgiven. And if you're not forgiven, and you die in that condition, or the Lord returns and you're in that condition, you're going to be lost in hell forever. Do we understand that? So what about you? Have you sinned? Have you ever told a lie? Have you disrespected your parents? Have you ever stole something? Did you ever say an ugly curse word? Did you ever act like you hated somebody? Was you ever ungrateful? See, there's lots of ways to sin against God and not ever murder and not ever fornicate. You can still sin against God. So what's your condition? Well, I go to the Church of Christ every Sunday. Coming to the Church of Christ, it's great. It's wonderful. Glad you're here. Want you to keep coming. But as I've said many, many times, you coming and sitting in this building does not make you a Christian. You can go and sit in a chicken house and it will not make you a chicken. You're just sitting here in your sins. You need to hear the gospel. You need to listen about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Just a few moments ago, we ate the Lord's Supper, and what we should have been thinking about is our sins. And how thankful we are to Jesus that He gave His body, that He gave His blood to forgive me. Yeah, He forgave that old sinful Ethan Preston and Ethan Wallen and however many other Ethans we got in here. He forgave all of them. Were they sinners? Yes. But so am I. He forgave me. And I'm thankful. So I remember His body. I remember His blood. And I'm thankful that I heard the gospel. I was baptized into Christ. I think I've told you this before. It was a Thursday night. I don't remember now what I was doing. But I decided that if I didn't get baptized that night, that if Jesus came that night, or I died that night, I'd be lost forever. I don't think people want to talk about that anymore. I don't think we talk about that to our kids anymore. We try to shield our kids from thinking about death. We shield our kids from talking about eternal life. We shield our kids from talking about sin and what it is and what it does to you. Brother and sister in Christ, that's what the Bible is about. And when you talk about sin, you talk about ugliness. And sometimes when I teach the Word of God and I tell you what a passage is, it comes across vulgar. It comes across nasty. It comes across just ugly. Because that's what sin is. I can't make it look pretty. I can't make it look great. Sin is awful. And it cost Jesus His life on the cross. Do you understand that? The death of our Lord. There was so much love for us to forgive us. Remember what He said on the cross? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Isn't that a great love? Even though He had such great love, He still had to die. Because God required a death for our sins. Brother Bill talked about Wednesday night in his lesson about going on our way rejoicing. What is the opposite of that? There are so many people that have guilt and we have shame. We're embarrassed. We're depressed. We're discouraged. Why? Because our sins weigh heavily upon us. It doesn't have to be that way. The gospel is the good news of Jesus Christ for us to rejoice that we've been forgiven. May I plead with you this morning? If you've never been baptized into Jesus Christ, and you have reached an age of knowing right and wrong, and you know about eternity, and you know about Jesus Christ and what He did for you, and you have sinned against Him, you need to pay close attention to what Jesus said. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not will be condemned. We're all sitting here kind of sad. We're all sitting here kind of numb. Because hearing this kind of lesson is kind of like, man, that's serious stuff. And it is. But what is the good news of all of this sermon? You can go on your way rejoicing today. You can be baptized right up there. There's water up there. You can be baptized into Jesus Christ and have every sin washed away. And you can leave this building today rejoicing that your sins have been forgiven. Just like those on Pentecost. Just like those in Rome. Just like those in Corinth. Just like the brethren of Galatia. You can be forgiven. Why take your sins home with you? Leave them here. Let Jesus wash away every sin. Maybe you are a child of God. We talked about in Hebrews, if. Remember? If. What if you've gone back? What if you've turned away? Come back to the Lord. He will have His arms open wide for you. He will forgive you again because He loves you. And He will receive you back. Please, please, obey your Lord today. It's 5 minutes till 12. 12 o'clock, the Lord's coming. What are you going to do? The rich man, when he was in torments, he wanted just one little drop of water upon his tongue because he was tormented so badly. You imagine the torments that a drop of water would be comforting. This is serious business, brethren. Friend, if you've never become a Christian, you need to do it today. Won't you come as we stand and sing?
Just as I am, we are one.